what we're going to talk about on this podcast is we're going to talk about understanding the nature of a man and mankind, understanding the nature of God and why we get sick and how we get sickness in our body. If we can understand that, then we can look at the root of where it comes from, and we can seek God for the understanding, and then we get truth, and then truth is what sets us free. To be set free and healed is the same word. To be forgiven of sin and to be healed is the same, Jesus said. Now, sometimes people don't like hearing that, but he said, what's the difference? Stretch forth thy hand or be thou forgiven, right? So we think forgiveness, we think it's like you sin, like you lie, cheat, steal, murder. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about missing the mark. What is a mark? A calculation. Of what? That you are loved. You're missing the calculation of your relationship with God. That is sin. That's why he said, if you abide in me and I abide in you, if you abide in truth, then you cannot sin. What does that mean? You cannot miss the mark if you're abiding in truth. So what we're going to be searching for when we look at an illness is we're going to be searching for the truth. We already know that you're loved. Logically, we know that. Rationally, intellectually, we know it because the word says so. But in your heart, in the neurites that are in your heart, which is a calculator, it will believe what it felt when you were little. So if you felt any kind of neglect ever, if you felt any kind of rejection, any kind of abandonment, anything that didn't make you feel loved, you believed it in your heart, whether or not you knew better in your brain. Didn't matter what somebody said to you, didn't matter if they did all the right things. What matters is how did the little child in us calculate, I am or I am not loved? When you miss the mark that I am loved, that is sin. So when that is forgiven, when that is corrected, when truth comes, it changes the lie that you held in your heart from a lie to a truth. Why? Because a lie is darkness. It's an absence of you seeing that you're loved. So when the light comes and the truth comes, guess what you see? Oh my gosh, I was loved all along. So when you feel loved in your heart, that means you feel whole. Well, saved, whole, and healed is the same word.
Yes.
It means nothing missing, nothing broken. So our problem is not that we sinned like we did something bad and now the devil's getting us. What the problem is that we don't know who we are. We don't know who God is. We've missed that calculation. And therefore, we don't feel loved. And we've been taught, well, you can't trust your feelings. Newsflash, you do. Everything in your body responds to what you feel.
That's right.
That's exactly right. And so if you feel cold, you're going to go put a jacket on. If you feel hot, you're going to turn the AC on. If you feel hungry, you're going to eat. If you feel sleepy, you're going to sleep. Guess what? You go by your feelings. That's what you do. In addition to living by your feelings, your brain is not capable of overriding your emotions. Here's why it's not capable. Magnetism and electricity is how this body works. It's always converting the energy, something into energy. It's always transforming. Something's always dying to live. Even in the DNA, it's a vortex of transition of energy. It's what's happening all the time. So your heart is 5,000 times stronger magnetically than your brain and the neurites in your brain and the neonet in your brain. And your heart is 100 times stronger electronically. Now, the frontal lobe is where it asks questions. The frontal lobe is where you go, I wonder how I could do this. I wonder how I could do that. And that part of you likes to take over and do the calculation. It's its nature. It's the nature of dust. It wants measurement and weight and how big and how wide and how deep and all that. And if you make anything out of dust, it's going to have a measurement. It's going to have depth. It's going to have width. It's going to have breadth. But when God made us, he breathed breath into that. Okay? So the measurement without the breath of God is dead. And that's what we do when we use the frontal lobe. We use measurement without the breath of God. Where is the breath? In your torso, not in your head. See, the torso is where the breath comes from. Mm-hmm. Your heart also has that brain, has a brain, has 40,000 neurites. So what we want to do is we want to go into that place. And we want to find the places that you didn't feel or calculate, I am loved. That doesn't mean we're going to bash your parents or your siblings or whatever. Mm-hmm. Even though we're going to find the places in your life where you may not have felt loved by a parent. You may not have felt loved by a sibling or a teacher or a coach or anyone else that had influence in your life. Now, many times when I'm working with someone, they're going to want to defend whoever it is that hurt you when you were growing up. This is not the time for that. We're not here to bash anyone. I know that as a parent, my children have judged me, rightfully so, in areas that I made them feel unloved. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't change the fact that I love them. It means I'm human and I made mistakes. Likewise, I know that your parents love you. I know that your siblings love you. So we can settle that matter up front. But when we're looking to help you heal, we're not going to look for where you felt loved, because that's not where the dis-ease is. The dis-ease, which means not at peace, is going to be in the tributaries where you didn't feel loved. So at times you might feel a little bit guilty or shameful because we're looking for those places. And I just want to say, look, think of it like going to the doctor's office. It don't feel good when they put you in a little white gown, right? And you got to get unrobed. But in the garden, they were naked and not ashamed. So I'm not here to shame your family in any way, shape, or form. I'm here to help you understand where you've missed the mark. Now, when we miss the mark, God speaks to us. God says he speaks to us plainly. The problem is we have human eyes and human ears, and they deceive us because they are going to calculate out of the knowledge of good and evil. It's the way they are. It's the nature of the law. And the law had to come. Form has to show up. If you don't have form, you can't behold something. So just like a seed is hard outer shell, it has a form, but inside that seed is life. The problem is your eyes and ears want to stick to the form, the facts, the rules, the regulations, who said what, when, where, how. We can stay there. We're going to stay as a seed. We're going to stay not producing life. But if we let that seed fall into the ground and die, and split open and throw off the form, and we surrender our understanding and our perception and say, God, would you show me how to see this? Would you show me how you've seen it from the beginning? That is what's going to give us truth and set us free. So let me give you some scripture to back that up so that we can all be in the same spot, right? The Bible says in 1 Samuel 9:9 that before time in the land of Israel, so I'm going to explain that to you. Before time means before measurement, before man was exposed to earth and judgment, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's not that the knowledge of good and evil didn't exist. It was before time, before there was a space or a place, a depth for us to experience it, in the land of Israel. What does Israel mean? When God ruled. So what does that mean? God's always ruled. Yes, but God has always ruled, but man always didn't. Man did not have the ability to rule or judge until we ate from the tree. So after they ate, he said, oh, man is now like us. They are gods, able to know right from wrong, able to rule, able to judge. Let us put them out of the garden, lest they eat from the tree in the center of the garden and be stuck this way. So before time, when only God had the knowledge of good and evil, it says when man wanted to see God or inquire of God or see God face to face, he had to go to the seer. Why would you have to go to the seer? Because if you saw God the Father and God the Holy Spirit face to face, you would die. So we go to the seer. So who is the seer? The seer of truth, the one who knows. Who is that? Christ. So we went to the seer, who before time was called the seer, but who now in time is called a prophet. Now, Jesus was called a prophet of Nazareth. The word Nazareth means the branch. It means a prophet of the female. So now I'm going to jump ship a little bit and explain what female means, what branch means. It means the place that's connected to the vine or the main sprout that produces fruit. It's where the manifested word of God comes out. And the Bible says the earth is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's us. We are the branch. Jesus said he's the vine, we are the branches. Now, in your heart, guess what those neurites are called? Branches. And he said, I want you to rule and reign with me. He says, if you suffer, you'll reign. Now, let me tell you what happens when you suffer. That neurite's going to expand with a lot of power and energy. You're going to be able to put new information in that neurite. When you do, it's going to change it. That's what it means to reignite or reign. To re means to do something again. Ignite means to fire it. So we're going to refire it up through your emotion. So remember the last time I worked with you, you had a lot of travail and wailing and grunting. That is, and your body even trembled. Let that happen, because that's going to expand that tributary or that branch. It's going to it's going to throw it in the fire. It's going to burn.
You see,
it's going to burn it up.
Living on that.
That's right. It's living in that neurite.
It's living.
The cancer is actually not against you.
No.
The cancer is revealing what's already eating you up. What's already eating you up.
It's manifested in the physical.
Right, because it was already in the heavens. All cancer means is a worm that won't stop eating. It means canker. And the Bible calls Jacob, oh, Jacob, thou worm. So what is a worm? A worm is something that's neither male nor female, but lives in the dust. Guess what our spirit is?
Dust.
It's neither male nor female. It lives in the dust. Why is it neither? Because it's both.
It's both.
It's both. That which was, that which was not, and yet is. Okay? That's in Revelation. And so what's going to happen is we're going to go into that through all this stuff so that we can now refire that branch. Whenever you refire the branch, you're actually becoming one with the main vine, the vine of truth. That's going to change everything in your heart. It's also going to change your endocrinology. And now your body has an opportunity to manifest with that truth. It's right now manifesting with your current truth. What is your current truth? I didn't feel loved. That's the current truth. So that's what we want to do, is we want to expose your body to the rest of the truth. Why? Because we've been missing the mark. When you abide in the vine, and that is changed, and I am loved, you can't miss the mark. What mark? You can't miss that you're loved. So again, before time, we wanted to see God. We had to go to the seer, which is Christ. Go look it up in 1 Samuel 9:9. And Christ then shows us something. What does he show us? He shows us your pathway to see the Father. So what does that mean? That means the pathway to know the knowledge of good and evil, which means you're going to die because you can't see God and not die. So what does that mean? You can't see all light and not be blind.
That's right.
You have to have darkness. So we come into the earth, into the portals of time. And once we come in time, we then eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And because we eat from it, we then now have to become everything we judge.
That's right.
That's what happens. Go read Matthew 7. I didn't come to condemn you. You've done that already. But I came to give you life and life abundantly. In other words, I came to redeem your thoughts. I came to redeem your calculation. Why? Because you deemed that you weren't loved and that you're a failure and you deserve punishment and that it's somehow your fault and you're just reaping what you sowed. Well, part of that's true, but part of it is a lie. So what we want to do is we want to redeem what your belief is. We're going to redeem your calculation. How? Whatever God says. We're going to listen for the Holy Spirit to talk. And when the Holy Spirit speaks, the Holy Spirit's going to wait till your heart's perfect. Because I can't see your inside of your heart. I can seek your heart and God can reveal it to me. But I can't speak truth unless it's given to me. That's why Jesus said, I only say what I hear my Father say and only do what I see my Father do. So I know that I'm the vine. What does that mean? I know that I am without void. I don't have truth, but I'm connected to the truth. I wait for the truth, and when the truth comes out of me, that's the fruit. I'll speak that out, and that is what changes the atmosphere. And so you need to know that you're not supposed to be strong. You're not supposed to have the answer. You are not love. You are the place where love dwells. So you're going to fail. You're going to miss the mark. You're not light. You're actually darkness. You are the place who has no light of its own. In Proverbs, it calls you a lamp. Does a lamp have light of its own? No. And you can't light the lamp. You know what happened to Aaron's two sons who tried to light the fire on the altar? They died. Why? Because it presumes that God is too weak to put fire of his own self, which he is fire. It presumes that he's so weak I have to help God out. How feeble would God have to be if he needed your help? See, he doesn't. How feeble would my husband have to be if he needed my help to open a pickle jar? See, he doesn't. He don't need my help to help him drive, but I still insist on helping him. Right? And how ignorant does it make? What, you think I'm stupid, Angela? You think I can't drive? No, I know you can drive. I just can't help it. It's my nature to help you. Why? We are helpers. We know it's your nature. It's our nature to think we have to help God. But God's not weak, you guys.
No.
God's saying, look, be weak. Your L in your lumbar is what's weak right now with disease, dis-ease. I want you to be able to come to a place where you're comfortable being weak. You know what? I am. I have no light of my own. And my best is as filthy rags. And you're right, brain. We can't do it. That can help your lumbar heal. Your ribs means protection. Obviously, you didn't feel protected. And so that needs to be healed. You also somehow feel like you weren't born right, or something to do with the hip bones where life comes from. So there's something in your genealogy that you feel, and we need to find what that is and get that to heal. And we know what's going on with the right side of your body. So as we begin to deal with each of those things, it gives the body opportunity now to manifest your new belief, because whatever you believe, you'll have. And as a man thinks, so is he.